Today we are going to start a new chapter, that is Book of Acts, chapter 18. And let's start from verse 1.
After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. I found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers.
Okay, now here what we see, last week if you remember, Athens, Paul had a lot of problems. All these idol worshippers giving him hard time. And so believers said, go through the sea, so these people will not bother you. And he left Timothy and Silas there, and he went alone. And then when he reached there, he said, I want Timothy and Silas immediately. And that's what happened. Now he is in Corinth. And now he was lonely there because Timothy and Silas was doing the journey. But here he found two beautiful people who are dedicated to the Lord. And their names are given, Aquila and Priscilla. Now, they were kicked out from the Rome, even though they were Roman citizens. They kicked out from the Rome, and now they were coming here thinking, what will be happening to our lives? But somehow, you know, when you are lonely, you are frustrated, and you don't know what to do, and if you are a child of God, God comes to rescue you. He brings the right people in your path. So here he sees this Aquila and Priscilla, and then Paul made them, the word of God says, they are all tent makers. So now Paul knew somehow before he came to the Lord, he used to do the tent making business also. So now he saw these people coming into the new place. So Paul might have said, don't you worry, I will help you and help you to do more work. And you can do your business, and I know the business, and we can do it together. So he might have helped them. But here we see sometimes people take this chance and say, Paul was working all the time. And there are so many churches, and the minister says, pastor has to have a part-time job, and part-time he can work for the Lord. But that's what not the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, forsake all and what? Follow me. Now, Paul, if you read in Philippians, Paul says, whatever the things were good for me, I gave it up and I followed the Lord. So everything, what the things in the world, he said, those are like a trash to me. So he gave up everything and followed the Lord. He was not doing the tent making business as other people are saying. But here he says he knew the trade. So what he did, he tried to help Aquila and Priscilla. I can tell you, when I was in India and there was a lady, she said, Pastor Peter, I want to have one machine. That machine can make some thread and I can make clothes, just like St. Paul is doing some tent making business. I didn't know how to do that, but I said that lady was pregnant and she said, I want you to help me. I said, I will go and learn that machine and buy that machine and give it to you. Now, it was not easy for me as a minister going and learning about that machine because they said you cannot purchase this machine. You have to first learn how to operate the machine. We cannot sell it as is. So I said, I'll come and learn it. When I went to sign up, they said it will take 1.5 years to learn this machine. And I do not want to give up my Lord's work and work 1.5 years learning this machine and give it to the lady. So I said to those people, if I learn it within a month, can you give it to this machine? They said, never. Anybody learned this within a month because they had the quota system. You have to produce certain thread And then when they see this many thread you produce and the good quality thread, and then they will say, okay, you are ready. So the people were frustrated making this thread for 2 years, and then they will get the machine. And I prayed and said, Lord, give me grace. And I went, and that machine was not like an electric. You have to work with your hand, and I working, and my stomach started hurting, and so much pain. But I did not give up. Within a month, I finished my course, and I produced the thread they wanted, and I gave the machine to that lady. This is what St. Paul is doing here. He found out this Aquila and Priscilla, they're coming from Rome, they're coming from the new place, they don't know the business, they don't know what to do, but he saw these people are Christian, born again, children of God, so he wanted to help them and start helping them in their ministry or in their job. And Aquila and Priscilla, you can see, when he was helping them, he was not only helping them to making tent, but he was teaching them the Christian doctrine. How do you know? We will know later on. So they learned something from St. Paul. How God has called him, how God filled him with the Holy Spirit, how God baptized him, and everywhere he went, he was testifying and telling others what God is doing. Many times, sometimes people go from one job to another job, and you see new people. But God is taking you from one place to another place so you can tell them about Jesus Christ. Let's read further verse. Verse 4. Acts chapter 18, verse 4.
And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ.
Amen. Now see what happened here. St. Paul is always going to synagogue after synagogue and preaching to the Jewish people. God called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And he knew that, but he purposely going and teaching all these Jewish people in synagogue and testifying and preaching the word of God. Not only Jewish people, but Gentiles also. Verse 5, it says, when Silas and Timotheus came from the Macedonia, Paul was so happy because he was waiting for these people to come and support him in the ministry. And when he came, he was in his spirit, inspired to go and testify to the Jewish people and start telling them, Jesus is the Christ, and he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the one you are looking for. And he started going and preaching and telling others about Jesus Christ. You know, if you have support of somebody, you feel good that somebody is behind me. Somebody is helping me. Somebody is going to do something for me. And then you get inspiration. Same thing happened to him. When he came from there, he was lonely. He started, nobody cares, now I'm alone. But he said, please, Timothy and Silas, please come and help me. And they came, and now not only Timothy and Silas, but you got Aquila and Priscilla. Four people and Paul. Now they got five people working together for the Lord. Can you imagine? There are churches, there are thousands and thousands of members in the church. They call mega churches. But in mega churches you go, nobody cares. You will be like a drop in the bucket. Nobody will even notice that you are there. But thank God, this church is a tiny little church in the one corner of Philadelphia. But as I said, we are reaching thousands of souls every day. And people call and I pray. I told you one person called me. When he called, he said, my grandma gave me the address and telephone number. I said, sir, what can I do for you in the middle of the night? He said, you know, tonight is my last night and I'm going to kill myself. I am tired of living in this world. I said to him, sir, any fool can die. But living is hard. But you cannot live by yourself. You need Jesus Christ. And he gave his heart to the Lord and completely transformed. We have a mission to do. So what I'm trying to say, five people in Corinth, they start shaking the whole Corinth. And Paul was inspired in the Spirit and start testifying to the Jewish people, telling them Jesus is the Christ. Verse 6.
And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles.
Right, now see what happens when somebody's excited to do something for the Lord. Very excited, telling from his own spirit, telling his own experience, testifying, breaking his heart, and telling other people what Jesus Christ has done for him and what Jesus Christ can do for you. And people, they don't want to listen. Instead of listening, people start blaspheming. That means they might be using foul language. They might be saying whatever that comes in their mouth. And Paul got a little bit discouraged. What did he do? He shook his clothes. Means Jesus Christ said, when you go to certain town, and if they don't listen to you, what do? You shake the dust off your feet, and you go. And the judgment day, I will judge them. St. Paul got so mad, and he shook his clothes, and he says, now, your blood is not coming on me, because I'm clean. God is going to judge you. Now I'm going to go to Gentiles. He was a little bit mad and frustrated. And these things happen to any Christian. You go to somebody and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, they don't want to listen. You tell them about soap opera, you tell them about your boyfriend, you tell them about your girlfriend, they want to listen. You tell them about some good movies or even the bad movies, they want to listen. But as soon as you say about Jesus, they don't want to listen. They want to just cut you off. But you know, when you are born again, child of God, doesn't matter who wants to hear or who doesn't want to hear. We keep on doing the Lord's work. One day, just like St. Paul got this kind of problem, when I went to one town, I told you this story many a time. I went to one town and the man said, I do not want to hear you. Get out of my town. I said, sir, what did I do? He said, you are talking about born again experience. You're talking about water baptism. You're talking about the Holy Spirit. You're talking about the healings and miracles. We don't want to hear it. So I said, sir, what the Bible says, because he's a Christian man, what the Bible says, shake the dust and move on. If I shake the dust and go, your town, your city, your village will have a problem. But I'm just a little bit gracious. I'm not going to do it this time. And I left. What happened? I went to a farm. In that farm, there was a farmer. In his house, that same man's daughter was married to this farmer's son. And I had a prayer meeting in his house. When I was praying, the lady said, could you go to my village? My sister is sick for 8 years and she's dying. I said, what is your father's name? She gave me the name. I said, that's the person told me to get out of the town. But it's a long story, but I'll tell you in short. I went to that house. I prayed for that girl. That girl was completely healed. But that man was sitting in the porch, did not say, thank you, Pastor Peter, coming to my town. I left. The same man got a cancer, got a big tumor, like the size of a coconut. And he was dying like a fish. And he said, call Pastor Peter. When I went there, he says, you know, Pastor Peter, I'm just like a fish out of water. I am dying. But he did not say, you came to my house, you prayed for my daughter is healed, and she's okay, please pray for me. He said, I'm afraid of surgery. I said, sir, I'm going to pray for you. I prayed for him, and God healed him. The doctor came to check, could not find a tumor or cancer, and he went home. While he's going, I went to visit him. He says, Pastor Peter, please come to my town again. What I'm trying to say, St. Paul got so mad, he shook his clothes and he said, I'm going to go to Gentiles. Even the man of God will get angry sometimes. God was not angry at Paul why he did it. If I would have shook the dust and gone, that town will be judged. But I said, Lord, give me one more time. And I was able to pray for his daughter, pray for him. Not only that, he's one of the daughter I baptized. So what I'm trying to say, our God is a good God. Sometimes we get angry, we get frustrated, but God wants us to do more. Okay, let's read following verse. Verse 7.
And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized.
Okay, now see what happened? Paul got frustrated. He got out of that place and he went to another brother's house, a justice, and that person was living near the synagogue. Now, when he's living in the synagogue, I don't know, those houses were like these houses. These houses like solid walls. And so, still, if somebody's talking to next door, we can hear. Now, he goes to this neighbor of this synagogue, and maybe he's talking to him, preaching to him, teaching him. And so, neighbor can hear it. Sometimes when I start talking loud, my wife said, shh, somebody will hear it. I said, that's what I'm talking about. I want somebody to hear. When I'm talking to one person and the other person is sitting far away, when I'm talking to him, I'm thinking about that person could hear too. So what I'm trying to say, that Paul was ministering to this person and the word of God says, chief ruler of the synagogue. Let's read verse 8.
And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized.
See what happens even though he came out of the synagogue. He said, I'm not going to go to Jewish people anymore. I'm going to go to Gentiles. But here the Jewish man and his whole family got saved. How did he get saved? He didn't go to synagogue. He might be preaching to this man and neighbor or some other places, and the synagogue and his people got saved. And more Corinthians people got saved and baptized. So sometimes you get discouraged and you said, now nobody's listening to me. But in our language there is a saying, the walls has the ears. You might be talking here, maybe somebody behind the door may be listening. One preacher was preaching in the farm and he was preaching to cows and trees. And he says, repent, and he's preaching. And someone, there was a man, he was a robber, a killer, a bad person. After he heard and he came and repented and gave his heart. He said, I didn't know that somebody was listening. He was preaching to the cows and the trees. But there was somebody listening to his preaching. The word of God is so powerful. When you preach the word of God says it will go and brings the results. He said there is not a single word spoken by God will come void. There is a power in the word of God. So don't worry. When we are preaching on the radio, we don't see the audience. Who is listening? But you preach like one person is there and you preach to that person. One lady heard the advertisement on the newspaper and she clipped that paper and put it in a wallet. Said, someday I'll have need for it. 2 years later, she called me. I said, where did you hear it? She said, I saw your advertisement in the newspaper. That day I didn't have any need. But now, 2 years later, I got a need. Could you please pray for me? What I'm trying to say, don't think that nobody's listening. There are people listening. There are people hungry and thirsty for the word of God. And we keep on doing our works. God will give the increase. So here, so many people got saved and baptized. Verse 9.
Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace.
Right. Now Paul was thinking, I cannot go to synagogue. I already said, I'm not going to go to synagogue and preach, and I'm going to shake my dust. And somehow, somewhere, some people got saved and baptized. And now I don't know what was he thinking, but God knew that Paul is discouraged. So what the Lord says is, Paul, I don't want you to keep quiet. Means don't shut your mouth, don't hold your peace. What do you do? What I gave it to you, keep on preaching. So sometimes preachers also get discouraged. One soul's value is the more than the whole world. So we have to keep on doing. So the Lord is encouraging me. Not only St. Paul, he's encouraging me. He says, don't shut your mouth. Keep on preaching. Keep on teaching. Keep on doing the works. And let's read the verse 10.
For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.
Amen. What the word of God says, listen, keep on preaching. No one is going to hurt you. Because he said, I have many people, much people in this city. The same way one time Elijah got discouraged. You know how the Elijah got discouraged? Because Jezebel told him, I'm going to kill you. You killed my prophets. I'm going to kill you. So he started running for his life. And he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. And all the believers are gone and all the ministers are gone and I'm the only one. He says, you do not know. There are 7,000 people in this land. They never bow down to the Baal God. 7,000. Elijah didn't know it. So the same way Paul didn't say, Paul saw only here Timothy, Silas, Aquila, and Priscilla, and myself. We are only 4 or 5 people. So God gives a vision to Paul. Paul, don't worry. Don't be afraid of anybody. I am with you. And in this city, there are so many people, other believers, you don't know. So what God is trying to tell us, don't get discouraged. God has so many people. Numberless people are listening. So in those days, no television, no radio, nothing. But still hundreds and thousands of people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I don't have to worry. I am just believing, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. He has called me with a definite high calling. You follow Jesus Christ, don't look left or right, keep on following. We don't turn back. Okay, verse 11.
And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them.
Go ahead.
And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters.
Okay, now see what happens? God knew what is going to happen. God knew what these Jewish people, even though he did not go to synagogue this time, but all Jewish people came against him. And drag him to where? To the court. And those days they didn't drag him to judge. They drag him to the governor. Now, in America also, governor has the power to forgive somebody. Even though somebody is in a death penalty, governor and president can forgive that person. So now, St. Paul was dragged to the court. And they were against Paul. And what was they saying? This man is preaching against the law. What law? They're talking about the Jewish law. They're talking about the Jewish teaching. They're talking about this man is talking about Jesus. And this man is a Roman governor. He says, what? And I was thinking why that governor was so much loving this St. Paul and did not say any bad about Paul. I thought just like this, Paul is going and preaching somewhere. He might have heard about Paul. He might have heard about Jesus. Or he had compassion on Paul. Or maybe God put some kind of favor in his heart. Because here we see, when this all people coming against Paul, and they are saying to the governor, this man is a criminal. This man has done some wrong thing. And then governor start thinking, this man did not do anything. No crime, no bad thing he did. Why these people are bringing to me this person? Nowadays, if you complain about anybody, anything, if it's true or false, doesn't matter, they will drag you to court. Even though you did not do anything. Somebody has to say something bad about you, they will drag you to court. But in those days, they did the same thing. If that governor was a crooked man, didn't have the fear of God, and he never know anything about Paul and did not hear anything about Paul, this man also will do the same thing. But see what happened here. Let's read verse 16.
And he dragged them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with them Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he now had a vow.
Okay, now here, see what happened. The governor said, I cannot take this case. Get out of my town. Get out of this court. And he dismissed the case without giving any judgment. And then the mob were standing there. And what they did, they beat the one of the chief person in the synagogue. And that judge sitting there did not say even a word. What I'm trying to say, God protected Paul, and the people who were troublemakers, they got beaten themselves. So here Paul was safe, but those people got into trouble. Now the Paul is coming out of there, and Priscilla and Aquila, both of them traveling with him. And now I don't know why this thing is given, that he had vow with God, and he was keeping his hair long, and he went and shaved his head. Now, some people do this in certain countries, and here also, if they have some problem, they will say, I'm going to keep the beard until my prayer is answered, or I'll keep the long hair until my prayer is answered, and I'll do this. So I don't know what he was thinking, but I believe his prayer was answered. Now, whatever he was doing is finished. So he went and cut his hair and start thinking that it's over. Verse 19.
And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not.
Okay, now see, Paul said earlier, I'm not going to go to synagogue again, and I'm going to go to Gentiles, but now he comes to Ephesus, and he said, okay, let me go to synagogue. And he preached there, and this time, these people did not kick him out. They said, hey, we need you. Could you stay here longer and teach us more? But he said, no, I don't want to stay here too long. I want to go on a journey. What I'm trying to say, sometimes we make up our mind, I'm not going to do this again, and I don't want to talk to this person again, but God opens the door. We cannot make a decision that I do not want to talk to this person anymore. For example, if somebody from Pakistan did something wrong to you, and then you say, all Pakistanis are bad, or some people from India did something wrong to you, all Indians are bad. It doesn't work that way. We have to see individual person and talk to them. You cannot make one person is bad, so all people are bad. Now Paul got a problem in synagogue, and he said, I shake my dust, I'm going to go to Gentiles. That means I'm never again talking to Jewish people again. But what happened? God put him in another synagogue, and people start saying, Paul, we want you. Please tell us more about what you're talking about. And then he said, no, I want to go further. Verse 21.
but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples.
Okay, now what Paul was doing here, even though the Jewish people said, Paul, stay with us. We need you. We need your teaching. But Paul said, no, I have a journey to go. I have to go and do the things. And Jerusalem, he has to go. And then from there, he wants to go and travel all the places he went and preach the gospel. He wanted to see how the believers are doing and how the ministry are going. And he wanted to comfort them and visit them. When I was in India, before I came to USA, my ministry was growing like a wildfire. We were having baptism service every week. Almost 200 people were baptizing. Every day we had a service. Sometimes open air, sometimes a bigger stadium, and the work was progressing very well. And at that time I'm sitting and praying and came to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and it says, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. And I stopped and I said, Lord, if I cannot go to Pakistan, that was in 1965. Pakistan, India had the war. So Pakistani people did not give me visa, and they said, don't come to our country. So that's the neighboring country. I could not go there. So I got discouraged. I said, Lord, if I cannot go to Pakistan, how can I go uttermost part of the world? God told me, I'm going to take you to USA. Now, USA was just like Europe. I didn't know too much about USA because I was not studying the history. I was not in the politics. So I didn't know anything about USA. When God told me, I'll take you to USA, I want to know more about USA. Once you are an American citizen, you can go anywhere in the world and preach the gospel. I said, Lord, take me there. When I was praying, it was so hard, I cannot tell you everything. If somebody wants to know more about my testimony, I already prepared on CDs and DVDs, I'll give it to you. But in short, what I'm trying to say, work was progressing. And at that time, God tells me to go to America. When I said to somebody, he said, hey, don't go to America. Come and have a special meeting for me. And I went to that state and did the 3 days special meeting. When I did the meeting, the first day the man comes to me, he was like a 70, 75 years old. He says, Pastor Peter, don't go. Look at this church. 5,000 members I have. I give this church to you. And you will have $5,000 per week. I said, no, sir. I do not want money. I want to go to USA. When I landed to USA, one pastor came to me and he said, listen, that was in 1969. We will give you $40,000, single home, and you have to preach only one Sunday and a Wednesday. I'm coming from India, it was a good deal, right? $40,000. But that now will be like $150,000 or $200,000. But I said, no. I'm not a paid servant, and I'm not going to work for any church. What I'm trying to say, I had the vision. Now, when I came here, what was the vision? Just like St. Paul. When St. Paul went there at the synagogue, they said, we want you, but he said, no, I want to go. So when I came here, in 1969, I came. 1970, I established International Christian Fellowship. Now, can you imagine now, this is 35 years of this ministry in USA. God has the plan for me. When I came here, the vision was this. I want to reach the whole world. We start the internet, we start the website, and start preaching the gospel, and people are listening around the world. And what I'm trying to say, I have a vision to reach the whole world. When I came here, Pakistan was not giving me visa to go to Pakistan. After coming here, I baptized so many Pakistanis in America. So God is a good God. Okay, let's go. Verse 24.
And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John.
Now see, this man is talking about Apollos. This man was a born-again Christian. He was so much excited about the Christianity and the Lord Jesus Christ, so he started doing the like Paul was doing, going to synagogue, talking to Jewish people and telling them Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the only Savior, and start preaching the gospel. And many people get confused about Apollos. Now hear what we're reading here. Apollos was a good man. He was filled with the power of God and speaking with the power and authority, but he knew only the baptism of John. Now what's wrong with that, somebody will say. He knew only the baptism of John. What John was doing, John was saying, before Jesus Christ started his ministry, John the Baptist started his ministry and started saying, repent and believe, and somebody is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend down and loose his shoes. But he will, the one, will baptize you with what? Holy Spirit and fire. That's what John the Baptist was preaching. And many people got saved and baptized in the John baptism. Many of the Jesus disciples were disciples of the John the Baptist, and they followed Jesus Christ. But now, Jesus Christ, when he was with them, gave the new commandment. If you read in Matthew chapter 28, and start reading from verse 18 to 20.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Now this is the commandment he gave to his disciples when Jesus went to heaven. This is very important commandment. But many people did not understand still yet. Some people are still denying this commandment. Now there are groups of the people they call only Jesus. And they baptize you in the name of Jesus only. They do not baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. When this commandment was given, baptize them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Spirit. That commandment was given after the resurrection. And what Jesus Christ commanded to his disciple, do not leave the city. Stay in the city until you fill with the Holy Spirit. So the disciples sat there. How many days? Not one, two, three. They sat there 10 days. And the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. And same day, Peter stood there and started preaching, and 3,000 people got saved and baptized. Now, can anybody tell me, when Peter heard Jesus Christ baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Peter will change this and baptize them only Jesus' name only? No. So here, this Apollos knew only about this baptism. That means he did not know anything about the teaching of Jesus Christ or the teaching of the Peter after the day of Pentecost. So what happened here? Let's read. Verse 26.
And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace.
Okay, now what happened here? Aquila and Priscilla took this man to their house and told him more about Holy Spirit. Because he knew only John the Baptist's teaching. So now Aquila and Priscilla said, listen, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you should be preaching and teaching about the baptism, what Jesus Christ taught us. And so they taught him very details and explained to him, is the word of God says, more perfectly. And so he could know more about the word of God. Okay, verse 28.
For he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ.
Amen. So what happened? Aquila and Priscilla told him everything about Jesus Christ, everything about Holy Spirit and everything. And then they recommended him to other places. And when he went there, he proved it to other people. How? Mightily convincing people that Jesus Christ is the only Messiah and there is no other Savior. If that Apollos was trying to say, who is Aquila and who is Priscilla? I am the preacher. I know more about them. I don't want to go to them and learn anything. But he humbled himself. Even though this Aquila and Priscilla invited him to their house and start telling them about plan of salvation, plan of the Holy Spirit, plan of the baptism, and how to be baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they taught him, okay, now you go to our brethren and they will allow you to work with them. But if you don't work with us and if you start teaching all of these things, that will be wrong teaching. So he humbly received and learned the truth and start working for the Lord. Shall we rise? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving grace to St. Paul and courage. You gave him the vision and say, do not stop, do not hold the peace, but keep on speaking, keep on preaching. And you said, I have many people in this city. So Lord, that message is for us also. There are so many people dying without God and without Christ in this city. Give us grace to reach out to those people and bring them to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Whatever the knowledge you have given to us, whatever the teaching you have given to us, is not to keep it for ourselves. Just like Aquila and Priscilla took this minister of the gospel and taught him the right and perfect way of God. Give us grace to do it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.